Series, right now on Wild Discovery.
Wild Discovery, Clever Critters. A tall castle is shown and the screen reads, The Hidden Claw.
History and folklore record plenty of stories of clever animals, but few as intriguing as this one. About an ingenious crime, a clever thief, a fabulous jewel, and the closely guarded Tower of London. Starring the Raven.
A guard puts a key on a small table and sits.
Ravens. Adaptable, social, quick learners, with large brains and excellent memories.
The guard falls asleep.
All the qualities that make for a clever critter, as you're about to see.
The Raven flies through an open window, hops onto the table, and takes the key in its beak. Perching on a chair by the door, it puts the key in the lock and turns it. The bird removes the key, pushes the door open, and enters a long hallway. Flying to the foot of a stairway, it perches on a banister and peers toward a lighted case in the next room. Pearls, rubies, and emeralds are displayed. The bird flies to the case that houses a royal golden orb. Walking to a keypad, the bird punches numbered buttons with its beak, and a red light flashes on. The guard wakes up and looks down for the key. At the keypad, a light turns green. As the guard runs, the case lowers. The Raven grabs the orb by a cross mounted at its top and flies away just as the guard arrives. Trained to help us.
But can we train animals to be clever? Definitely.
A monkey climbs a palm tree.
In Thailand, these pet macaques have been taught to help out with the grocery shopping.
The macaque picks coconuts and lets them fall. On the ground, a man is holding a long rope tied to the monkey.
Here's where they learn to pick coconuts.
A sign reads, Monkey School.
As usual, school starts bright and early. This is a typical school bus.
A man drives a motor scooter down a road with a monkey in the front basket. Another monkey is riding beside a man, and a third man walks his macaque into the school on a leash.
First lesson, Coconut Picking 101. How to get the coconut off the tree.
A monkey spins a coconut.
Oh.
This is one job where monkeys beat humans, hands down. A well-trained macaque can pick up to 1,200 coconuts a day.
A macaque drops coconuts to the ground, then climbs down the tall tree.
But best of all, they work for free. Just a little TLC. And the fruits of their labor.
A man gives his macaque a drink of coconut milk. Elsewhere, a man has birds on his narrow boat.
For around 1,000 years, the Chinese have used cormorants to do their fishing. Grass tied loosely around the throat keeps them from swallowing the catch.
The birds leap into the water and dive toward the fish.
They can dive to 80 feet.
One has a half-swallowed fish in its beak.
The cormorants are allowed to keep every 7th fish they catch. If they don't get it, they'll stop fishing. Which means these clever birds can also count, at least up to 7.
The fisherman opens the bird's beak and the fish spurts into a basket. A web page reads, Ask Judy's Rat.
This California school is just one of many that was wired by a rat. To bring old schools into the digital age, internet cables have to be laid along ceilings and down walls. Narrow spaces, perfect for a rat, like Ratty.
Ratty, a white rat with pink eyes, sits on a child's computer monitor.
Judy Rivas is Ratty's owner. The clever critter learned to negotiate a dark maze of insulation and pipes.
Reaching through an open ceiling panel, Judy puts Ratty into a pipe. A long pink ribbon is tied around the rat and trails behind her as she moves through the ceiling.
I knock on the wall or on the ceiling and she follows the sound until she finds the opening.
With Judy knocking on the wall, Ratty walks through the ceiling pulling the long ribbon.
Ratty
finds a pipe, and Judy moves to a more distant spot along the wall. At a junction, Ratty looks left and right, then Judy knocks.
Okay. At the end of the pipe, or at the opening, there's a reward of gummy bears and cat food.
Ratty emerges from the pipe.
Hundreds of California school children are online, thanks to this high-tech rat.
If she can follow the tapping, and she can pull the wire along and know that it's her job, she's pretty smart to be able to do all that.
It only took them like 3 months to learn how to do this.
really smart for a rat.
Outside, a service dog walks beside a man in a wheelchair.
Disabled after an accident, Alan Parton has a dog named Endel that's trained to help him out.
Alan puts a card into an ATM.
One thing Endel wasn't trained for is an ATM, but this clever critter can think on its feet.
Endel gives Alan his money and card from the machine. Later, Alan is in a grocery store with Endel. Endel takes a box of cereal from a shelf with his mouth.
Good boy.
Alan puts it in his basket.
Ever alert, Endel is always ready to chip in.
Endel gets a can of food from a shelf and gives it to Alan. Endel gets another can, knocking one to the floor. He picks it up.
Thankfully, virtue has its rewards. His favorite brand of dog food.
Thank you. Bring it here. Well done.
No question, Endel is helpful. But is he truly clever or just well-trained?
Endel gives the clerk Alan's billfold.
Well, what about an animal that can spell?
A pot-bellied pig pokes its snout among brightly colored block letters. It selects one and picks it up. A woman is sitting on the floor beside the pig.
Nellie is a 7-year-old Vietnamese pot-bellied pig, and we think Nellie is incredibly intelligent. Nellie loves to learn. We have had 13 pigs. I've trained them all myself. Nellie puts them to shame.
With her owner, Priscilla Valentine, Nellie is pushing the boundaries of pig intelligence.
The block letters are on the carpet.
Hello, Nellie. Good girl. Here's a treat for Nellie. Good girl. Can you spell pig, Nellie? Can you spell pig?
Nellie picks up a letter.
Can you? Oh, we have a P. That's a good start. That's a good start. Go back, get more letters. Back more, get more letters.
She chooses another letter.
Can you find the I? Oh, you did find the I. Oh, what a smart girl. What a smart girl. Can you find the G? Look at her looking. Where's the G, Nellie? Find the G. There's the G. Good girl, Nellie. Good girl, Nellie. Here's some treats for Nellie.
Pig isn't the only word Nellie can spell.
Good girl, Nellie. Can you spell the word ham for us? The letter's over there. Can you spell the word ham for us? Oh, that's a very good start, Nellie. We have an H. Nellie uses her sense of concentration, and we'll send her right back for the rest. We need an A now. Well, that was very fast. She's bringing it to me. What a good girl. What a girl. Just one more letter, Nellie. We need just one more letter. Can you find one more letter for us? Oh, she's looking them over very intently. Pigs don't have very good eyesight, so she's got to be very careful. And we have an M. H-A-M. A ham is what you are, Nellie.
Elsewhere, horses are grazing.
Horses are known more for their beauty than their brains, but this horse in California can read pictures. It can distinguish between shapes and select a certain type of picture, with a reward for the right answer.
A panel in front of the horse has 5 spaces. Covers slide open and an open circle is shown in one space. The horse nudges the open circle with its nose. It eats from a small dish near the floor as a woman monitors his activity.
So which type of picture does the horse keep going for?
The horse selects an outline of Texas.
The test gets trickier, even for us, when 5 pictures are presented.
The horse chooses another panel.
The answer? The horse is choosing the open shapes.
It chooses a hexagon from 5 shapes. Then it picks an open light bulb shape, then an open cue. It continues choosing black shapes that are white in the middle.
Even when brand new shapes are shown for the first time, the horse immediately chooses the right one.
A woman holds a black truck shape and another that's white in the middle.
Dr. Hange has learned her own lesson, that animal intelligence is constantly underestimated.
All these different types of experiments have shown that animals have a lot more abilities than was previously thought, and that humans are not that different from animals in how they think.
The screen reads, small isn't necessarily stupid.
Can bugs be clever? This is a woodlouse. This is a woodlouse maze.
A line shows the route through the maze.
To get through the maze, the woodlouse has to make 5 right turns and 5 left. Can it do it in 30 seconds?
The louse enters the maze. At the first junction, it turns right. Then makes 2 lefts. It makes another right, then at the next junction, turns left again, following the correct path of the maze.
Is the woodlouse using brain power, or was it trained? Well, despite the appearance of intelligence, there's no cleverness here at all. The woodlouse is using blind instinct, with a bit of help from its physiology.
It leaves the maze. The louse begins again.
Its body is counterweighted, so if it turns right, its weight swings it back, turning it left. Even if it makes 2 turns in the same direction, its counterbalancing system ensures that, overall, it goes in a straight line, usually heading for the dark.
The louse maneuvers successfully, then leaves the maze, heading into the shadows. A spider with black bulging eyes has spiked legs.
This creature is being studied by New Zealand researcher Dwayne Harland.
We think there's a spider that, for its size, might be the most intelligent animal alive. That animal is called Portia, and she's a jumping spider. She comes from tropical rainforests of the old world. She has a brain that would sit comfortably on the head of a pin, and yet she does the most spectacularly complex and intelligent behaviors for an animal of her size.
Portia is about to be put through some high-tech tests. Here, she's presented with computer-generated prey. Harlan clicks on the prey she's built to stalk, attack, and eat. Other spiders.
She climbs onto the screen and stands over the computer-generated image.
This otherworldly apparatus was built to test Portia's intelligence. Emerging from the central column, she starts looking for a meal.
2 platforms are on either side of the column.
With 8 eyes, she has excellent vision, much better than any other animal her size. She spots her prey, a dead spider on a vibrating platform. It's too far for Portia to jump, so she'll have to make a roundabout trip.
A line tracks her path down the column, across the floor, and over some pipes.
The other route is a dead end. Starting from the prey, she maps the path she has to follow, all the way back to the starting point. A test of her strategy, vision, and memory.
From her high perspective, she looks at the twist of pipes leading away from her meal. It moves to the floor, passing the route to the empty platform. She starts down her tall column.
Once she sets off, she's navigating solely by brain power. The only way to reach her prey is by following the route she memorized.
Now, looking at the underside of the platform, Portia moves along the floor toward the base of the pipe.
Now on the floor, Portia has to climb back up to reach her prey. To make things harder, she must not only move in the opposite direction, but bypass the first column she runs into.
Portia moves to the proper set of pipes and begins to climb.
So far, Portia is making all the right moves. At last, she reaches the right column. But she's not home free yet. She still has to negotiate a long, torturous path before she gets to her meal.
She maneuvers along the twist of pipes.
It's a complex task that takes time, patience, and brain power. Other creatures might have long since given up, not Portia. This may look like mere trial and error, but research suggests otherwise. 6 times out of 10, the spider will follow the right path.
Portia climbs down the final length of pipe.
Finally, Portia reaches the finish line, and a sweet taste of victory.
What we conclude from this test of Portia's intelligence is that Portia's not merely using trial and error to solve this problem, but is in fact using a form of forward planning. And if that isn't a clever animal, I don't know what is.
Coming up, some English birds woo an English gent and meet a cool cat and his SUV. up next on Wild Discovery.
Near London's new giant Ferris wheel is a sideshow of clever fish. Step right up and judge for yourselves.
Small fish swim in an aquarium. One snatches a fly floating on the surface of the water and swims away with it.
Archer fish eat insects that fall in the water, but they don't always wait for the insects to fall. As their name suggests, they shoot down their prey with a powerful jet of water. Of course, an archer fish doesn't want to shoot down an insect for another fish to eat, so sometimes they go for it themselves.
A fish leaps out of the water and eats a fly on a leaf above him.
These archer fish have gone one step further, taking dining to new heights.
A man holds a piece of meat over the water. An archer fish leaps up and eats it.
The archer fish has adapted its behavior to new circumstances. By any definition, that's smart. It seems some animals are more intelligent than we realized. Or maybe all animals are as intelligent as they need to be to survive.
Flying dinosaurs fly near an ocean shore.
Certainly, intelligence counted in an ancient world dominated by wildlife.
Storm clouds gather, lightning flashes, and a volcano erupts.
Of course, you can't think your way out of global catastrophe. You either adapt or die.
A dinosaur skeleton is shown.
One of the greatest catastrophes for animals is man. Those that thrive in spite of us are the ones mentally prepared to adapt.
A flock of pigeons flies around a smiling child. The screen reads, "Taking advantage of us."
Britain's Trafalgar Square is the perfect place to test the intelligence of the most streetwise of animals, pigeons.
Hundreds of pigeons fly through the square and some land on a man's arms.
Besides the usual feeders, this week they get handouts from a new source. A robot.
A mannequin in man's clothing is on a park bench.
To get at their food, the pigeons have to master the robot's operating manual. First, they must press a green button, which sends the robot's arm off to get the food from the dispenser.
A pigeon pecks the green button, and food falls into a container in the robot's hand.
Pushing the red button brings it back. Finally, pushing yellow makes the robot tip grain into its left hand. Only now can the pigeons get the food. The robot has been in place for only 5 days, and already the pigeon, now at the controls, has it down cold. We'll call him Greenneck.
Greenneck stands over the controls in the robot's left hand.
He hits the green button, then moves straight to the red.
He pecks the red button several times.
Now he patiently waits while the robot's arm travels to the feeding position.
The robot positions the container over its left hand.
Finally, the yellow button.
The robot dumps the food out.
The movement of the robot shakes him off just as the reward comes for his cleverness. But Greenneck finally joins the others for the payoff.
Several pigeons gather around the food.
Pigeons have adapted to other man-made contraptions.
Several cars are lined up along the side of a street. A man reaches out his car window and feeds a pigeon.
George Clark likes to feed the pigeons, but as a busy taxi driver, he can't afford to hang around. One clever pigeon has figured out the best way to get a handout. Bum a ride.
George drives away with a pigeon perched on his open driver's side window.
When I turn up at the taxi rank, I don't know if it's the sound of the engine or what, but they know that this is my taxi. They land, they sit there and look, just to confirm really that it is me. The longest he stayed on this door is from the Tower of London rank as far as Cleopatra's Needle, and that is actually going under the Blackfriars underpass, 30 miles an hour in the dark.
The taxi and the pigeon move through city traffic.
He's also been the other direction, which is over Tower Bridge, and he's stayed on over Tower Bridge.
The taxi drives over the majestic Tower Bridge. Elsewhere, a cheetah stands in tall grass.
Even the fastest hunter on foot has learned to exploit man.
The big cat approaches a vehicle and leaps out of the hood.
This cheetah uses the hood of a Land Rover as a 4-foot-high lookout post to see further for its prey.
It sits on the hood and looks around as an antelope grazes nearby.
Adapting still further, it uses the vehicle as cover for launching its attack.
The cheetah watches from behind the front bumper, then rushes toward the antelope lying in the grass. The antelope looks up and runs with a cheetah close behind.
California condors head for the mountains and greet their new perplexed neighbors when Wild Discovery continues.
Off California lurks a great white terror.
A shark moves through the water.
The shark's favorite snack is a chunk of California sea lion.
A herd of sea lions rolls across the surface of the water and a shark surfaces with one in its mouth.
So what can a sea lion do to avoid becoming dinner? It cleverly falls back on that old adage, strength in numbers. Like crows mobbing a falcon, these sea lions mob a great white, hoping to drive it off by sheer weight of numbers. And it works. At least this time.
They turn from the shark and leave. A sign reads, "Welcome, Pine Mountain Village Center."
In this quiet California town, monstrous sights loom out of the sky.
These huge shadows covered the house, and he goes, "What, my God?"
They're taking advantage of all the human beings around.
And you know, they only eat what's dead, so every now and then I have to call my cat over at the house and tell her to keep moving around.
The terrors of the sky are California condors. Once near extinction, the entire population was trapped in the 1980s to save the species through captive breeding.
A huge bird soars through the sky.
49 young birds have been bred and released.
A condor walks across the shingles on a roof.
15 have invaded Pine Mountain and become urban pests.
Two are on a balcony.
Here, would you mind giving me a rundown on your latest signals?
Where the birds go, the Fish and Wildlife Service is never far behind.
So anyway, I come up the stairs, and here were 8 condors, one over on my bed, and the rest all lined up here, see? The wild birds never sat on anybody's house, believe me.
Young condors won't mature until they're 4 or 5. Like any animal with a long period of infancy, they play and learn a lot.
One of the birds hops onto the balcony floor.
Naturally, they're curious about anything new.
Hey, Tom, I got visuals on, looks like a couple birds up here on the roof.
The bird walks across the balcony to an open doorway and stops as the Fish and Wildlife agent arrives.
Condors are vultures. No wonder people are alarmed when they become house guests. Whether we learn to get along with them, they may have already learned to live with us.
There you are. What are you doing up there, you guys? Get off of here. Go on. Get. Yeah.
One condor flies away. The other follows.
Come on. Go.
Elsewhere, hundreds of white birds are at a city dump.
The cleverest animals are the ones that have learned to benefit from our presence rather than suffer from it. And there's nothing more clever than stealing food from right under our noses. Few are better at it than this inquisitive, tenacious, and brilliant animal.
The screen reads, "The Rubbish Raiders." At night, raccoons walk onto a wall.
The raccoon.
They cross a neighborhood street near a McDonald's and head for the trash cans.
Clearly, cleverness and diet go hand in hand.
One eats French fries.
If an animal isn't finicky about what it eats, the world can be its oyster.
The two raccoons climb into a trash can. One puts its face into a tin can and eats from it. 4 red X's light up the screen. Elsewhere at night, an animal sits on the edge of a trash can.
Like the raccoon, this Australian possum uses manipulative front paws to get into almost anything. And like the raccoon, the possum will eat almost anything.
The possum munches from the can. Elsewhere, a badger walks into the sunlight.
In the modern urban world, as in the age of the dinosaurs, it's adapt or die.
It climbs onto a trash can at night, tipping it over.
Badgers are in no danger of extinction. In the urban jungle, they've learned to adapt. In southeastern Britain, badgers have replaced foxes as the culprit most likely to raid the backyard trash can.
Two badgers nibble on food scattered from the trash can. Later, one climbs onto another can, puts its head in, and shoves a lid off the top.
Scroungers thrive all over the world.
On a farm, a large bird flies overhead.
The caracara lives in the sub-Antarctic and the Falkland Islands.
It lands.
A bird of prey. It's notorious for going off its natural diet.
It lopes across the ground to a trash can.
Strangely, it prefers walking to flight. When Charles Darwin visited the Falklands, he saw a caracara doing exactly the same thing.
It hops inside, comes out with some food, and runs away. Men are playing croquet. The screen reads, "Clever critters, Victorian style."
The English cathedral city of Wells has a tradition of clever birds that goes back 150 years.
Gentle water ripples around a castle-like building and swans float in the serene pool.
It all has to do with these swans, this bell, and the daughter of a Victorian bishop, a girl named Maria Eden.
A young woman's reflection is shown in the water, wearing period clothing and carrying a parasol.
The bishop's palace is surrounded by a moat fed by springs. Back in the 1850s as now, the swans came here to live and breed.
The swans float gently on the calm water, drifting across the smooth surface.
Maria was fond of feeding the swans, but she was recovering from an illness that left her weak. She tired easily, walking round and round the moat, looking for the swans to feed. Then she came up with a clever idea, to get the swans to come to her. 50 years before Pavlov, she conditioned the swans to associate food with the sound of a bell. Then she went one step further. She conditioned the birds to ring the bell themselves in hopes of being fed.
A long string is tied to a bell at the shore. A swan holds the string in its beak. The young woman opens a window and looks out with food.
The birds would now come regularly to the window, but the lessons didn't stop there. The swans also learned the behavior from each other. Cygnets learned from parents, and the lesson was passed down for generations.
The young birds ring the bell, and the older swans wait. The young woman removes her cap, lets down her long hair, and feeds the birds from her window.
Today, bishops, residents, and tourists all benefit from the ingenuity of a Victorian girl. We've seen lots of clever birds, but legend has it that the crow family is the cleverest of the bunch. Let's recap that drama we started with, starring the smartest of all crows, the raven. The array of tasks performed by a raven named Loki demonstrates its amazing capacity to learn, remember, and use tools. 12 new skills were acquired in just 3 weeks of training. The raven has a big brain in proportion to its body, comparable to a dolphin's, and almost as big as our own.
Outside, a raven is hanging upside down from a man's protected arm.
Ravens are social animals. They're also omnivores. They'll eat anything. And we've seen the link between diet and intelligence. Ravens are also playful, especially during their long infancy.
A raven slides on its back in the snow. Others roll in the snow and play.
All these qualities make ravens natural problem solvers, says owner and trainer Lloyd Buck.
Well, there was an incident in the 1950s in Austria where the fishermen in the wintertime used to go and cut a hole in the ice and set a fishing line, hopefully for a nice tasty trout.
A man drops a fishing line into the water held by a stick across the hole in the ice.
And they used to come back and find the fish had gone. And they always suspected it was other fishermen coming and stealing their fish.
He leaves.
But then someone noticed that the ravens, wild ravens, had watched the fisherman set his line and then come back the next day and get a nice tasty trout. So they'd learned to go and test, pull the line up to see if there was a fish on the end of the hook. Yeah, and we got Loki to do that. We had to reenact that with Loki. And he did it first time. You know, straight away, we laid a dead trout just down in the hole through the ice. And Loki knew there was food on the end, and he started to pull it up, but then when he let go, obviously, it slipped straight back down again. But then he very quickly worked out that if he held the line under his foot, each time he pulled a loop of line, he could hold it and then pull the trout to the surface.
The raven pulls the trout under the snow and eats it.
You know, they've got a capacity for problem solving and working things out. They're very inquisitive. They're naturally inquisitive birds.
The man runs toward the raven and he flies away with the trout.
Another sign of raven intelligence is teamwork, especially when they're up to no good.
A raven lands on a branch and looks around. In a yard, a small dog walks up to a dog dish and begins to eat. Several ravens are watching from a few feet away. When the dog chases the birds, other birds fly to the dish and begin to eat. The dog runs back.
It's one thing to fool a lapdog, but a wolf?
A pack of wolves is eating and ravens are standing close by. One wolf is lying in the snow with some food. A raven hops up behind him and picks at the wolf's tail. The wolf keeps eating. When the raven pulls its tail again, the wolf glances back.
The wolf tolerates four pulls of its tail, but by the fifth tweak, it's had enough.
The wolf chases the raven.
The others pounce.
Ravens hurry to the food. Snowmobiles are lined up in the snow. A raven bounds toward them.
For the past decade, Yellowstone National Park has been plagued by thieves.
It opens a Velcro seat pouch.
They've learned to get into anything.
It takes out a packet of crackers. Other ravens are in the area and watch as the bird takes the crackers from the packet and flies away.
In the 1960s, a celebrated Swiss crow mastered IQ tests designed for children aged 2 and above.
A man puts several small cups on a table. A crow picks them up one at a time and nests them together into one stack.
The crow learned to stack cups in ascending order of size, even if they were mixed up. This amazing ability is an extension of the crow's natural instinct to hoard food in secret places.
The crow stacks the cups in order, picking one up when he knocks it onto its side.
A backyard garden in England.
A black cat steps across the yard and a gray squirrel watches from a patch of purple flowers. Inside, a man looks out a window.
The owner likes to put out bread for the birds, but it's stale bread. So stale and hard, few birds can eat it.
In the yard, a bird hops around a chunk of bread, and birds peck at other pieces. A ringneck dove tries to eat some.
But for the resourceful crow, dinner is just a bird bath away.
A crow picks up some bread in its beak and drops it in a bird bath.
After a few minutes of soaking, the bread is still stale, but now edible.
It picks at the bread, then carries it away. Parrots fly overhead.
There's another contender for world's smartest bird, the parrot.
The screen reads, Parrot Mastermind.
The most celebrated of all parrots is Alex, an African gray, a student for 15 years under its owner, Dr. Irene Pepperberg.
Alex looks at some colored shapes.
Try again. Two yellow wool, very good. Now how many green blocks?
Alex looks at the green and yellow circles and squares.
Now how many green blocks?
Four.
Good boy.
What matter?
Paper, good boy.
He touches the paper with his tongue.
Okay, what matter?
He touches the item with his tongue.
Whoa,
very good boy.
She holds up a key.
Okay, and what's this?
Key is right, say better. Key, good parrot.
What's here?
She holds up a rock and he bites it.
Rock.
Very good. Very good, Alex, thank you.
Tell me what's different.
Okay.
What shape? What toy?
Truck.
You're a good boy. Okay. What we've found out is that a bird with a brain that is so different from mammals and primates can perform at the same level as chimpanzees and dolphins on all the tasks that we've used and performs at about the level of a young, say, kindergarten-age child.
Orangutans find a cunning way to cross a river, and some elephants can stop the music. Up next on Wild Discovery.
It's no coincidence that smart animals are social. So are orangutans.
An adult orangutan is in a tree.
Like humans, orangutans sometimes need to cross rivers. This river is home to crocodiles, and like humans, orangutans prefer not to tangle with them.
She gets into a boat.
This female is not only crossing in safety like a human, she's learned to paddle like one. No doubt, she observed humans doing the same thing, and she's aping their behavior.
With her baby holding on tightly, she dips her long arm into the water and rows the small boat.
Sometimes the whole family goes along for the ride, mother, junior, and baby, merrily down the stream.
The three orangutans float across the water. Elsewhere, elephants walk through a jungle.
Northern Thailand is home to another social animal and a legendary story about clever elephants.
Men are riding the elephants.
At the end of the day, these working elephants are released for the night. But that's when they can get into crops and into trouble.
Banana trees have been trampled to the ground.
Villagers solved the problem with wooden bells. If the farmers hear the bells during the night, they can rush out and scare off the elephants before they get to the bananas.
An elephant lumbers away.
That's the background. Now for the story.
The sun sets. The next day, a young man runs toward a house.
Years ago, one village heard no bells in the night, but found its crops ruined. All the bells were working.
A villager looks at a trampled tree.
No telling who was the culprit.
Men walk through a village.
The villagers made a plan. Each elephant would be followed to see which was the guilty one. Despite their size, elephants move almost silently and can easily disappear in the jungle. Thanks to the bells, each villager was able to follow his elephant.
The men follow the elephants through the jungle. The villager listens, then moves toward the sound as his elephant walks away.
As darkness fell, one villager followed his elephant to mud flats.
The villager watches from a distance.
There, he witnessed an amazing sight.
Using his trunk, the elephant packs his bell with mud. The villager's eyes widen as he watches.
With its bell muffled, the elephant could enjoy its midnight snack undisturbed.
The elephant pulls bananas from a tree and eats them.
Why was there no trace of sabotage? Because by sunrise, the mud had hardened and dropped out of the bell, leaving no evidence to betray this extraordinarily clever critter.
Coming up, the subject, a squirrel. Its mission, bird feeder dead ahead. Is he up to the challenge? Next on Wild Discovery.
Animals we've seen so far have a lot in common.
Orangutans, a horse, elephants, and ravens are shown.
They have big brains.
A pod of dolphins swims.
They're social.
Sea lions speed through the water and ravens play in the snow.
They're not fussy eaters.
Birds, the rat, and condors are shown.
They have long lives and a long infancy for lots of play.
Elephants nuzzle one another.
They can exploit changes to their natural habitat.
The cheetah chases the antelope and the raccoon eats from the trash can.
Among the cleverest animals are the ones that can adapt to new surroundings. The ones blessed with good memories and natural curiosity The ones we call pests.
The condor steps through an open doorway.
Here's an adaptable, curious pest with a good memory.
A gray squirrel scampers up a pole. The screen reads, "The Thief in Gray."
A few years ago in Britain, this gray squirrel became famous for tackling the ultimate obstacle course to get the prize at the end.
From a tall platform, he steps onto a rope. Hanging upside down, he crosses it to another platform. He jumps to a mini teeter-totter, then leaps to a platform leading to a chain. He steps onto it, turns upside down, and scrambles to a cage on the other side. Moving through a levered door, he climbs onto a rope, crosses to a pole, goes up a cylinder, and leaps through the air to a wooden pole. He climbs down it to a tray of food and eats.
Since then, bird feeder manufacturers have racked their brains to come up with squirrel-proof feeders, all shapes and sizes, with all kinds of built-in defenses, some very professional, some extremely amateur.
Several feeders are shown.
But do they actually work?
A squirrel leaps straight up toward a long feeder but misses. Another squirrel falls from a hanging feeder while another slides down a long pole in his attempt.
Some do.
One slides from a domed feeder to the ground.
Here's a new twist. An electric feeder with a base activated by trespassers.
When a squirrel hops onto the hanging feeder, the base spins and the squirrel falls. Squirrels try repeatedly and are flung to the ground. One leaps and misses entirely. Another jumps and holds onto the long tube of feed, then is flipped away.
These squirrels are smart enough to know when they're beaten.
The squirrels leave.
Onto this dome feeder, which one squirrel cracked with acrobatics and luck.
The squirrel slides off the domed top, then grabs the dish under it as he falls and pulls himself up to the plate of food.
The rest simply took a flying leap.
Other squirrels jump into the dish from the ground and stuff themselves with bird feed. They hop to the ground as birds watch from a distance.
This homemade feeder seems squirrel-proof.
A tube slides down a pole when a squirrel climbs onto it.
This squirrel is a quick learner.
The speedy squirrel hops past it to the tray of food.
The fiendish ingenuity of man reaches new peaks with the water cannon.
When a squirrel moves close to the feeder, a spray of water shoots toward him and he runs away.
This squirrel learns to outthink a machine.
The squirrel races up the pole and eats. Elsewhere, a small bird pecks at a tray of food.
This bird feeder is open for business for featherweights only. Anything heavier, and the doors snap shut.
A squirrel hangs on the side, then falls. Another hangs upside down from a tree and stretches its paws to the feeder below.
With quick thinking and a lot of stretching, the squirrel wins again.
Hanging by its feet from a tree branch, the squirrel eats its food.
Finally, something squirrel-proof. Small and ingenious.
A small feeder is encased in a wire frame. A squirrel climbs on top of it and pries off the top.
Just one oversight.
The top falls to the ground and the squirrel pokes its head into the feeder and eats.
Here's something you don't see every day. A homemade contraption of slippery dowels and vinyl records.
Feeders are hanging from a dowel-covered rope with records spaced between them. A squirrel leaps on and falls.
Maybe simple is best.
The squirrel leaps and grabs a feeder.
Maybe not. Clever critters? No contest.
This has been a presentation of the Discovery Channel and the BBC, world-class television.
Narrator Allison Argo, photographed by Martin Cray.
Learn what it's like to wake up, not to the predictable routine of daily life, but to a life-altering catastrophe that turns the world upside down. Go Beyond Human Limits, coming up next. And tonight at 9, don't miss an all-new Unsolved History.
Narrative script written by Dorothy Thompson. For the Emmy Award-winning Narrative Television Network, this is Kevin Meyer. Special thanks to the U.S. Department of Education.